I don't know whether I'll ever bring a message of greater importance than the one that I plan to bring to you today. The title of the message is, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Now I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and I want you to look at Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Now I'm not going to read the whole sermon. I'm just going to read the last verse, verse 36, one of the last verses. It says in Acts 2:36, Peter speaking here, and he says, therefore, here's the summary, here's the conclusion of my message. Therefore, since all that has been done and said, this is the conclusion. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, without doubt, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let everybody know this, assuredly, without doubt, that God hath made that same Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, both Lord, Almighty God, sovereign, with complete authority, and Christ. Now listen to me. The people of the Lord throughout the Old Testament knew positively, without doubt, three things. Now they knew these three things. Number one, they knew beyond doubt that God is holy. I didn't say God was holy. I said God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His glory filled the temple. And around His throne were the seraphims, and they cried, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Psalm 99 said, Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. He calls Himself the Holy God. The first time that word is used in the Bible is when God spoke to Moses on top of the mountain, and He said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Holy ground. All right, secondly, these people knew that God is holy. Secondly, they knew that they all were sinners. Isaiah said when he saw the Lord, I'm undone. You know what that word means? I'm cut off. I'm cut off. I'm without hope. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Listen to David. My sins are ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. David wrote in Psalm 14, the Lord God looked down from heaven to see if there was one that did do good. And he found that they're all together gone aside, that there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. That man at his best state is altogether vanity. Isaiah wrote, from the sole of the feet to the top of the head, there's no soundness in us. Our whole head, that's our thoughts, our minds. Our whole head is sick. Our whole heart, that's our affections. Our whole heart is faint. Job said, I hate myself. I just hate myself. I abhor myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Job said, we drink iniquity like the water. Isaiah said, even our righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. So these people knew God is holy, and these people knew that they were sinners. They mourned and grieved over the fact that they were sinners. And David said, God is justified and clear when He damns me, when He judges me. The third thing they knew is this. They knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, according to God's prophecies, according to God's promises, according to God's word, that he would someday send to this earth, to the people of God, a Messiah. Now, they knew that. They called Him the prophet. They called Him the redeemer. They called Him the branch. They called Him many names. But He was called throughout the Bible the Christ. The Christ. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, the writer of the book of Acts said this, to Him, give all the prophets witness. Now, the people of the Old Testament, the people of God, knew three things. That's not hard to learn. Not hard to remember. They knew God is holy. We better learn that, too. Secondly, they knew that they were sinners. We need to learn that, too. Thirdly, they knew that God would someday send the Messiah, that he would send the Redeemer, that he would send the Christ. He's promised throughout the Old Testament. That's what the Old Testament's all about. Someone's coming. Someone's coming. Someone's coming. The four Gospels say someone has come. He has come. And the Epistles say someone's coming again. Now, do not be misled into thinking that these people in the Old Testament, though their knowledge of the Messiah was limited, their knowledge was limited, I know that, limited to prophecies and promises and pictures. But don't you be misled into thinking they didn't know what God was going to do, that they didn't know what God was going to do in and through this Christ. They expected this Christ. They expected this Messiah. They looked for this Deliverer. They looked for this Redeemer. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he's going to stand on this earth. And though worms destroy this body, and I'm going to be buried in the ground and go back to dust, I'm going to rise, and I'm going to see my Redeemer with these eyes, not another, with these. I'm going to be redeemed, restored, and resurrected by that Christ. Now, they knew some things. Let me show you some of the things they knew. First of all, they knew that this Christ, this Messiah, would come from the Lord. Now, they knew that. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet like unto me. Him you shall hear. Unto him shall you hearken. Now, they knew he was coming from the Lord. The Lord will raise him up from among the brethren like unto me. Secondly, they knew he would be born of a woman. They knew he wouldn't come down here on a white horse. They knew he wouldn't just appear in the clouds. They knew he was coming through the womb of a woman, because God said he'll be the seed of woman. In fact, Eve, when her first child was born, if you read and check with the Hebrew language, you'll find that when Eve looked upon that boy Cain, her firstborn, you know what she said? I've gotten that man from the Lord. Jehovah. She thought the Messiah had been born. That first child that came forth from her womb, she thought it was the Messiah, because God, after Adam and Eve had fallen into darkness and death and disease and sin, God said, I'm going to bruise the serpent's head. The serpent's one that tested them and tempted them and tried them, and God dealt with the serpent, and they were witnesses. They heard what he said, and God said to the serpent, I'm going to bruise your head and destroy your power with the seed of that woman. And when that woman gave birth to that first man's child, she said, I've gotten that Redeemer. But she was wrong. She was right in this, he'd come from a woman. Because Isaiah said, behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign, a virgin shall bring forth a child, called his name Jesus, called his name Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 9:6 said unto us, a child is born unto us, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They knew that God had sent him. Secondly, they knew he'd be born of a woman. Thirdly, they knew he would be a man and stand on this earth. That's what Job said. My Redeemer is going to stand on this earth. And then they knew he would be Abraham's seed. They finally knew that. He would come through Abraham, because God told Abraham, in thy seed, and you'll find in Galatians that this seed is not just Isaac. This seed is Christ. It'll be through Isaac, but this seed is Christ. And he said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Our Lord Jesus has a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. All nations are blessed through Abraham's seed. And then they knew he would be of the tribe of Judah. When Jacob was dying, and he called in his 12 sons and was blessing each one individually, he came to Judah. That's the kingly tribe, Judah. And he said this, Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh. That's the one, the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, till Shiloh comes. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's way back in Genesis 49. That's way back in the first book in the Bible. When this man Jacob was dying down in Egypt and called his boys around him and blessed those 12 boys and prophesied of their future, he talked about the coming Christ, the coming Messiah. And he said he's coming through Abraham's seed, and he's coming through Judah. And he did. He was born in Judah. They knew he would be born of the house of David through the family of Jesse, the tribe of Judah, down in Bethlehem. In Micah 5:2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands." This is written back hundreds of years before our Lord Jesus Christ was born, talking about the Messiah, this Christ. And it said he'll be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. We're talking about the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer, the God-man, the one sent from God, the woman's seed, the body inhabited by God, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He's going to make his appearance under that star in a little town, little among the thousands, a little insignificant town, in a little insignificant stable, in a small manger. God would become a man and dwell among us. They knew that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, and then they knew that the Christ would perfect by his life and obedience and a righteousness before God for his people. That's right. Listen to Jeremiah. Listen to this now. Jeremiah 23:5. And Jeremiah's writing about the branch. He's writing about Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Nissa, Jehovah Rapha. He's talking about the Lord Jehovah, our righteousness. And he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up," didn't I tell you? They knew God had raised him up and sent him, "that I will raise up unto David," from the house of David, the throne of David, "a righteous branch. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and his name shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Jehovah our righteousness. My friend there, these people knew some things. They weren't dumb. They didn't see the full realization, the full revelation of his coming, of his redemptive work on Calvary, but they knew he'd be a man. They knew he'd come from God. They knew he'd stand on this earth. They knew he'd have a perfect life and a perfect righteousness. And then they knew this. They knew that he would also be for a sin offering, and he would bring a perfect atonement before the Lord. From the time Abel offered that blood sacrifice, these men of Old Testament days knew that nobody could approach the Lord God without a sacrifice, without a slain lamb, without the blood. God said, "I've given you the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul." Now, I know today we're going around burning candles and throwing water in people's face and doing little signs like this and all this, but I still tell you, the life of the flesh is in the blood. "I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And that's where you must find yourself, under the blood of Christ. And you can go down your aisles, and you can shed tears, and you can beat on mourners' benches, and you can throw water around, and you can burn candles, and you can march around in silly-looking little uniforms, and you can make all these signs like this. But I'm telling you this, we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold and Sabbath days and tithings and all the rituals and ceremonies, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was revealed by the Father in these last days. "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And these fellows knew that. They knew that. One time Abraham was instructed by God to take his son Isaac to the top of Mount Moriah and offer him there as a sacrifice. And he didn't tell Isaac about it. And he didn't tell the men with him about it, the servants. But they journeyed the 3 days and came to Mount Moriah. And Abraham and the boy Isaac got ready to go up on the mountain. Now, Abraham knew he was going up there to worship God. He was going up there for a sacrifice. He was going up there to approach God. And Isaac knew they were going up there to worship God. And these men, so Abraham turned to the men and said, "Now, you fellas stay here. The lad and I are going up there and worship God. And then we're coming back." So they started up the hill. And Abraham, Isaac was a pretty good-sized boy, and he handed him the wood, and he carried the fire on a stick, you know, a torch or something. They didn't have safety matches then, but he's carrying the fire. And they got to walking up that hill, and Isaac turned to his father, and he said, "Father," and he said, "Here am I, son." He said, "Now here's the fire, and here's the wood. And you said we're going to worship God, the Father. Where's the lamb? We can't come before God without blood." And that's when Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And our Lord Jesus, talking about that very hour, he said, "Abraham saw my day. Abraham rejoiced to see my day." He saw it, and he was glad. And Isaiah talked about it. He said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. They knew something. They knew that the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, would be a sin offering, an atonement, a lamb. And that's when John saw the Lord Jesus. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." A bloodless religion is a salvationless religion. It's a hopeless religion. It's a helpless religion. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. They knew that he'd be a prophet like Moses. They knew he'd be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. They knew he'd be a king with authority like David. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. All the way from Genesis to Malachi, through the promises and prophecies and types and shadows, these men knew God would send a Messiah. And they knew that he'd be a Redeemer, and they called him the Christ. The Christ. Now, if you start in the New Testament, you'll find these different things occurring. When John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Christ, of the Lord Jesus, when he appeared and he preached mightily, mightily preached, and people went out to hear him from everywhere, and the priests and the Pharisees came running out there, and they said to John, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Christ? Are you the Christ?" And John said, "I'm not the Christ." Well, they said, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, the Christ. He's coming." All right, then the woman at the well, when our Lord Jesus was talking to her, I'm saying these people expected a Redeemer, a Christ, a Messiah. And when our Lord Jesus talked to the woman at the well, he said, "You don't know what you worship." She said, "Our fathers worship in this mountain, and your fathers worship in Jerusalem." He said, "You don't know what you worship. They that worship God worship him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit." She said, "Well, when the Christ, when the Messiah comes, who is called the Christ, he'll tell us everything." And that's when Jesus of Nazareth looked at her and he said, "You better learn this. I am he." That's when the whole Old Testament was fulfilled in those three words, "I am he." Someone's coming. Every prophecy says it. Every promise declares it. Every picture declares it. Someone's coming. And our Lord Jesus looked at that woman and he said, "I'm he. I'm he." John was in prison, John the Baptist, and he inquired of Jesus. He sent two men over there and he said, "Are you the Christ? Are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Are you the Christ?" And then the Jews asked in John 10, they asked the master, they said, "If you be the Christ, tell us plainly." He said, "I told you, but you didn't believe me. The works that I do bear witness of me, but you didn't believe me because you're not of my sheep." And then when he stood there on the temple steps that last great day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, and he cried, "If any man thirst, let him come to me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water," many people said, "Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? Of a truth, this is the Christ." Yes, he is. Jesus is the Christ. If I could get anything across to you this morning, it would be this one point, and that would be the unity of the Scriptures. The Bible, my friend, is not just a book of poetry and proverbs and quaint sayings. It's not just a book full of history and love and all these different things. It's not just a place when you get in trouble, you can turn to page so-and-so, or you get depressed, you can turn to page so-and-so, or you get down in the mouth, you turn to so-and-so, or to find airplanes, you turn over here, and to find submarines, you turn over there. Whoever invented the stupidity of that stuff ought to be banned from the public. Where do you find helicopters in the Bible? Where do you find Hitler in the Bible? Who cares? You can find yourself on every page. Christ died for the ungodly. When we were sinners, Christ died. Find yourself, you're a sinner. Find God, He's holy. Find Christ, He's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. If I could get across to you one thing, it'd be this, the unity of the Scriptures in reference to redemption through the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. And that's what Peter is declaring on Pentecost when he goes back over the whole history of the Jewish nation. He said, therefore, let me tell you folks something. Let all the house of Israel know, God has promised a Messiah, the Christ. God has prophesied of the coming Christ, the prophet, the priest, and the king. Let all the house of Israel know that this same Jesus, who was born of Mary in Bethlehem's manger and walked on this earth 33.5 years and went about doing good, this same Jesus who was despised and rejected of men, this same Jesus in whom you found no good, this same Jesus whom you rejected and resisted and nailed to a cross, this same Jesus, God hath made him whom you crucified to be Lord and Christ. That's what Simeon declared when he took up the child Jesus in his arms in Luke 22:26. It says there was a man called Simeon who dwelt in Jerusalem. And it was revealed to him, listen to this, Luke 2:26, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not die till he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now Abraham looked for him, Moses wrote of him, Isaiah prophesied of him, Jeremiah talked about him, all, but finally it came down to a man called Simeon in the temple at Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost said to him, you won't die till you see the Lord's Christ, the Christ. And he's waiting. And Mary and Joseph brought that infant Jesus of Nazareth into the temple, and Simeon took him up in his arms, this man whom God anointed with special understanding, and he said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And this is what John is saying in John 20:31. Listen, these things are written. This whole book is written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. He is the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. That's what Scripture says. He's not just an example or a martyr or a reformer, a sweet little Jesus boy or a poor little infant. He's the Son of God. He's the Christ. That prophet Moses talked about, that priest Melchizedek pictured, that wonderful counselor, mighty God, Isaiah spoke about. Listen to 1 John 4. Now, this is so important. Will you listen? 1 John 4:1-3. Beloved, I'm reading from the Amplified now. Beloved, put not faith in every spirit, but prove and test the spirits or preachers to discover whether they come from God. You listening? For many false preachers are gone out into the world. By this ye shall know and recognize the Spirit of God. You hear that? By this. Try the Spirit. By this you shall know and recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit, every preacher that acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, Jesus, His name of humiliation, humanity, Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah, actually has become a man and has come into the flesh, that Spirit is of God. Now listen, and every spirit, every preacher that does not acknowledge and confess that Jesus the Christ has come in the flesh is not of God and is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now you read that in your own Bible. Let me get to you at 1 John 4:1-3. The whole test of whether or not God is speaking through a man or a man speaking for God, or whether he's an antichrist. Does he preach and believe that the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, of whom God prophesied and pictured and promised in the Old Testament, is none other than Jesus of Nazareth, who is verily the Son of God from heaven, God in human flesh? Yes, he is. God became a man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Though he was equal with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he took upon himself the form of a servant and became a man. 1 John 5:20. Listen to the word. 1 John 5:20. And we have seen and known positively that the Son of God has actually come to this world and has given us an understanding and insight progressively to recognize and come to know more clearly him who is true. And we're in him who is true, and in his Son, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. This is the true God. This is life eternal. Saul of Tarsus was on his road to Damascus. He believed the Messiah was coming. He believed the Christ was coming. He believed the Lord was going to send a deliverer, but he didn't believe Jesus of Nazareth was that Christ. And he sought to wipe his name off the earth, and God struck him down on the road to Damascus. And a bright light shined from heaven, and a voice said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And that voice from heaven said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he went forth to declare to the whole earth from that moment on, Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. Now you believe that. John 20:31, and 1 John 4:1-3, and 1 John 5:20. You read those scriptures.